Today we are in Jonah chapter 3. If you remember last week, closing the chapter 2, we heard that fish vomited Jonah on the dry land. But he didn't say where was Jonah landed. When there is nothing in the Bible, people can guess so many things. One preacher was saying he was just vomited near the Nineveh and he was still having these sticky, dirty clothes and smelling and everything, and he went and told the people, repent. And that's why people repented. And I don't think that's what happened. God gives you chances. God is not going to tell you, you came out of the fish belly, you are dirty and smelling, you have dirty clothes and everything, people will be running 10 feet away from you, and you go and preach. Doesn't work that way. There's a one preacher came to one town, I was a guest there, and somebody told me, it's a preacher in the town, he's an evangelist. He had the bag and long hair and beard and long nails, and not only that, his clothes were so dirty and smelly and things like that. So I sat with him. I said, sir, first of all, what I'm going to do, maybe you didn't have the money to cut your hair. I'm going to give you money to cut your hair first. Trim the beard if you want, cut your nails. And I was a guest in another house, and I told that lady, there is no hot water. She has to make the hot water and gave him a bath and gave him a good clothes. And I sat with him. I said, sir, I know you are serving the Lord, but you are serving the people also. You have to have a good impression on people. Otherwise, they are not going to listen to you. They are going to say he's a crazy man. And he doesn't take care of himself. When the people give you respect, they listen to you. So point I'm making, I don't think God is going to tell Jonah, go with the dirty clothes, go with the smelling clothes, and tell the people about me or about their sin. I think the Jonah was very close to his hometown. Because he didn't have the money, if you remember, he put all the money and bought the ticket. Now he didn't have any money to go anywhere. So God brings him to his hometown. You remember what he was saying in his prayer? I want to give the thanksgiving to God, and with my voice I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to look at the temple. So I believe God allowed him to go to temple. God allowed him to praise God and glorify God and just be happy and joyful. Maybe 3 days he could not breathe properly, so he said, now I give you fresh air. Enjoy your life. And when he was thinking, maybe God forgot, he did not say, Lord, do you know I was going to Nineveh and then I went to Tarsus and this is what my condition was, and I prayed to you and you saved my life. What do you want me to do? Can I go back to Nineveh? But he didn't ask. There are people thinking, you know, God excused me. I'm not going to mention to God anything like that. And they want to enjoy their life. I don't know what he was doing. I have no idea he was a married man. I didn't know he has a children. But now he's living a normal life. I don't know how many days passed. When God told him to go, that time he says, I give the 40 days these people to repent. So I believe that 40 days are almost finishing. Now maybe 2-3 days are remaining. Let's go back to the Jonah chapter 3 and start reading from verse 1.
And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying,
now here the word of God says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Now, the first time the word of the Lord came to him, he disobeyed. How many times God has to talk to us to correct our life? Jonah took only second time. But for us, some people, God tells you time after time after time after time, and we keep on taking excuses. Jonah learned his lesson, and he said, this time, I'm going to obey. I don't want to go to shark mouth this time. I was in the fish mouth. God protect me. I don't want any lion. Do you know, one preacher, God told him to go and give the message. Don't stay in this town. Don't eat their food. Don't go back to the same road. And he listened to God. He gave the message. And he's going another way. And he's sitting under the tree. And another messenger comes. He says, I'm the prophet also. And I'm an old man. God told me to bring you to my house and give you food. Now this man might be hungry, young man, hungry and tired. He says, wow, I'm coming. Because you are the man of God. What happened? The man went and ate, and when he went back, he was eaten by the lion. You have to know when God speaks to you and some other person comes and interferes with your vision, with your dream, or with your ministry, you have to go back to God and say, Lord, what should I do? Did you talk to this man? Why didn't you talk to me? You have to talk with God. But if you take the man's word, you will be disappointed. One day I was praying, asking God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. Here the man sitting in front of me, and he said, God is showing me something. Something is you're thinking in your mind, in your brain. I said, Lord, I'm asking you, the Holy Spirit, why this person is telling me what to do? Why can't you tell me what's wrong with me? Then God spoke to me. God said, why do you need the Holy Spirit? I said, I want to do your work. Do you want to be a medical doctor or you want to be a preacher? I said, Lord, I want to be a medical doctor as well as a medical missionary. Then he asked me another question. Peter, Paul, John, all of those people served me. They were medical doctors? I said, no. Then why you want to be a medical doctor? I said, Lord, in my family, four brothers and two sisters died lack of medicine. That's why. God says, I'm going to give you the same power like Peter, John, and Paul. I said, Lord, if you give me, I will never go to medical college. I will never take a medicine, and I will serve you. As soon as I said that, I filled with the Holy Spirit and start speaking in tongues. The point I'm making, when God calls you, God talks to you, don't go and ask some other person's opinion. If you go and ask their opinion, they will mislead you. They will tell you something which God didn't tell you. I'll give one more example. One day, I wanted to come to America. I went to the Consulate General's office, and one person rejected my papers. And that lady told me very sharply, never again come to this office with this paper. I said, okay, ma'am. I went home. There was a minister sitting, waiting for me. He said, what happened? I said, this is what happened. He said, God doesn't want you to go to America. You have a big ministry here. Why you want to go to America? I told him, sir, it's a long story. God wants me to go there, and this is God's idea to take me there. I have no idea how the America looks like. He said, I tell you, don't go. I said, sir, thank you for your advice. I'm going to pray. When he left, I prayed. I said, Lord, what should I do? The man of God told me not to go. The lady said, don't come. What you saying? I don't have to go to America. India is a big country. And we have so many places to go. God says, go tomorrow with the same paper. When God says, you obey. I went there, stood in the line. There were four lines. I was in one line. I told this story many times. I was in the one line, and this lady right there, second number, the person in front of me, checking his paper. I prayed, Lord, move this lady, please. And as soon as she took the man's paper, she moved, checking his paper. Then another man comes. He says, what can I do for you? I showed him the same paper. Everything is okay. You will have your visa within 3 days. I could not wait for 3 days. You cannot give me visa today. He said, you have to go to 3 different doctors. And it will take 3 days. After 3 days, you will get your visa. I said, if I do everything today, can I get my visa today? He said, yes. He said, you know, today is 8:30 now. Office closes 3:30. You have to be here 3 o'clock. And I said, okay. Now, rest of the story, I don't want to tell you, but point I'm making, I got my visa the same day. So the point I'm making, if I would have listened to that lady, if I would have listened to that pastor, I won't be here today. So God has his own plan. You listen to God. So then the word of the Lord came to the Jonah second time. And what he's saying, let's read the words too.
Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee.
Now you go there and preach what I told you to preach. So God gave him the message. He doesn't have to prepare. There are so many people are scared to preach. But I tell people, you do not have to be worried about preaching. Because God is the one who puts the words in your mouth. You can think whatever you think. You can write the sermon, whatever you want to write. When you start preaching, you say, wow, I wanted to say this, but God is telling me to say something else. You listen to God. God says if they drag you to the court, don't think what you say. I will put the words in your mouth. The Holy Spirit will guide you. Point I'm making, you trust in God. God is the one who guides you and leads you. He will put the right words in your mouth. He said, Jonah, I'm going to give you the word. I already told you what to say. Do not be afraid. Just go. Verse 3.
So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey.
Now here he says, Jonah got up, got ready, and start his journey. Now this city says a great city. 3 day journey. What does it mean? If you want to see the whole city, you have to have 3 days to walk around. So it's a great city. And so he says, God told him to go. He said, okay, I'm going to go according to what God is saying. And he started his journey. Now 3 day journey. And he started, maybe I don't know what corner and what place he started, but he started proclaiming the word of God. See what he was saying, verse 4.
And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.
Now here Jonah is saying, within 40 days, your city will be destroyed, overthrown. Maybe enemy will come and destroy you, or some disease will come. We don't know how it happens. But he says 40 days. And I was thinking, he said 40 days. Now these people had enough time. But I believe the first time when God told him, he told him 40 days. Now here he comes and says to the people, within 40 days, your city will be destroyed. Now these people have 40 days to think about it. Now sometime you set a date. Jesus Christ is coming such and such a date. How many people set the date? And so when they set the date, they wait until that day and then run to the mountain, run to somewhere and do something, or do fasting and prayer and things like that. That's why Jesus said, I'm not going to give you a date. He said, don't you know it? He said, no, only Father knows. And somebody says Jesus was lying or something. Jesus knew everything. But why he didn't say, or why God did not allow him to say? Because he was in the physical body. He was having limitation. He cannot be everywhere in the same time. He was sleepy, hungry, and everything. So he was as a man. As a man, you're not supposed to know when Jesus Christ is coming. But as God, he knew everything. So he says, you're asking me, only God the Father knows. And Father will send me in due time. Because what happened first time, who sent him? Father sent him. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God sent Jesus Christ first time, and the second time, God is going to send him. So he said, it is in the hand of God. So here, Jonah is saying, 40 days you have to repent. Give your life to God. Change. I was just thinking. Just think, in Nineveh is not, they are not Jewish people. They're heathen. Now he goes to the heathen people, but he goes as a Jewish prophet. Now he has to have dignifying prophet dress and things like that. And so the people can respect. Not only that, I thought, when the Nineveh was a great city, maybe so many people from that city were traveling with the Jonah when he was going to Tarsus. You remember? And the ship start breaking. And so, I don't know how many people, because they did not give the number of the people. Can be 200, 300, 500. We don't know how many people were there. Those all people, they heard what the Jonah was telling the story. And many people, they worship the Jonah's God and sacrifice the Jonah's God and change their heart. Now just think, in Nineveh, maybe a dozen people were there, and they say, oh, this is the Jonah. This is the man. God put him in the water. And now he came back to tell the story. How did he survive? Now he might have told the story because it's not given here. Here only 10 verses are given. Maybe some people knew what happened to Jonah. And once you have a good testimony, people listen. So that's what I'm saying. If you do not have a testimony, how you got saved, how you got baptized, how you filled with the Holy Spirit, did God heal you any time? Did God did signs and wonders in your life? If you don't have anything of that, nobody's going to listen to you. You have to have a good testimony. You have to have a good relationship with Jesus Christ. There are so many preachers, they go to Bible school. Do you know why they go? I'll tell you. You go to college. High school you pass is very difficult to pass. And once you pass the high school, You go to college. Couple of years, you don't know what you want to be. Scientist, engineer, doctor, all these courses are very tough. But I was in the Sunday school. I learned about Jesus. Let me take the courses about pastor or minister. It's easy. And that's what people think. Most of the nominal Christians and all those people go to Bible college to easy courses. And they get the pastor's degree, study 4 years or what. And when they come out, they don't get any other job. Then they go to the ministry. If a ministry didn't work, then they go the truck driver or some other things, or some other things they will do. Why people suffer? When you don't have calling, then you cannot work for the Lord. Because you have a degree doesn't mean anything. It's just a piece of paper. So there are people going to colleges and do not know what to do. But the Jonah went to college also. But Jonah is a man of God. God told him what to do here, so he is preaching the truth. When the people heard his testimony, it's not given here. But I believe in my heart. Great city Nineveh, and the ship was going to Tarsus. All these businessmen, they heard the story about Jonah. And when he comes and tells the people, 3 days and three nights, I was in fish belly, and I prayed to God, and I said, Lord, next time I'm going to go to Nineveh. And God called me, and I'm telling you, if you don't listen, I don't know what's going to happen. Whole city will be thrown to hell, or maybe some disaster would come, and your whole city will be destroyed. That's the message. Here the word God told him, I'm going to tell you what to do. The message is not given. He just say, within 40 days, this city is going to be destroyed. Maybe one word message doesn't matter. But what God says. Now, these people came to know, if Jehovah God says something, he will do it. Because all other God, they don't even talk. They have hands and feet and nose and body and everything, but they don't talk. Only God talks with the Jehovah God. And the word of God says, Jesus says, God is spirit. Spirit can talk. Spirit is a person. And so these people came to know this man is a God's servant. And he's a true God's servant. So they got scared. Let's read the verse 5.
So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them.
Can you imagine? Here is saying the people of Nineveh believed God. What God? They believed Jehovah God. They did not believe the handmade God, because that God is not going to change them or bless them or do anything. So the word of God says, the people of Nineveh believed God. That's the great thing. The word of God says, believe God. If you believe God, there's nothing impossible. We have to trust in God. All kinds of situations you go through. But if you don't have faith in God, you are a miserable person. So now these people said, we heard Jonah. We know Jonah. We know this man was a disobedient man. Caused problem to us. Caused problem to him. We threw him in the sea. And this is the same man coming and telling us to repent. So the word of God says they believe in God. And they themselves proclaim a fast. Who? The citizens. The king is not enrolled yet. The citizens start telling everybody, going house to house, hey, do you know what Jonah says? Our city is going to be destroyed. And the word of God spread like a fire. How they came to know the whole 3-day journey city? Jonah just went to the first day journey. Halfway he's going. But all these people, the city of Nineveh, they heard Jonah maybe in a center city, but they spread everywhere, going to each and every corner of the city. And they start proclaiming. What they say, hey people, fast. Let's pray to Jehovah God. God might protect us. He might change his mind. And they are the saying, let's fast. Let's put on a sackcloth. And he said, from the greatest of them, even to the least of them, the old man to the young baby, the rich man to the poor man, everybody has to fast. And everybody has to repent. And everybody has to pray to the Jehovah God. Can you imagine the gospel spread so fast? What we supposed to do? When we go into church, when God is doing some miracles for you, what are you supposed to do? You go and tell your neighbors. You go and tell your friends. You go and tell somebody. Bring them to the Lord. Other day I was listening to one preacher. He has this talent. He goes to churches and do 3 days fasting or some teaching or something like that. And he says within the same week, the church get 100, 200 people. And if they say two, 3 weeks, he says his church triples. How it works? Because they go and tell others. Tell the people what God is doing for them. See this Nineveh people? Jonah goes in one corner of the city and he starts talking. These people, Nineveh's people, believe in God and say, hey, let's believe in Jehovah God. Let's put on the sackcloth. Let's from the oldest to the youngest, the rich to the poor, everybody. We are going to fast and pray. The whole city start praying. Whole city start fasting. Whole city give up their fancy clothes. Whatever the clothes the prostitute was wearing, give up the prostitute clothes. Put on the sackcloth. If somebody was a big officer or big person, took all these fancy clothes, put on the sackcloth. And everybody start praying. And they were not praying in whispering. They might be praying loud and there is something happening, just like a fire in the city. And that news goes to where? Goes to king. What's happening in my kingdom? Why all of these people are shouting and praying and putting on sackcloth? What's happening? See what happened. Verse 6.
For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes.
Can you imagine? Nobody goes to king to directly to tell him, hey, put on a sackcloth. Just believe in God. Nobody told him. But other people start doing it. He got convicted. If I don't pray, maybe there will be another king. I don't want to die. I don't want to be zapped. I want to repent. So he took his king's garment and he took everything what he has, the covering, and he put the sackcloth. He took the robe out and everything. And now he is sitting in the ashes. Can you imagine? The king sits on the throne. Now he gave up the throne and he sits in the ashes, wearing the sackcloth, and start praying to the same Jehovah God. Now up to now, the citizens were proclaiming and telling everybody. But now king says, I'm going to give the decree. I'm going to do something. Let's read the verse 7.
And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water.
Can you imagine? The king says, I'm not going to just sit in the ashes and put the sackcloth. I want my whole country do the same. And he proclaimed, once the king's command goes, everybody obeys. Now he says, listen, I'm wearing the sackcloth. I'm sitting in ashes. I am fasting. And I'm praying. And there are so many other citizens are doing. Now I want each and every citizen put on the sackcloth and start fasting. Not only you, but your children, your animal, everybody same dress code. Everybody has the same rule. And nobody's going to eat anything. He used the word test anything. And then he said, let them not feed or not drink water. He was a wise man. Do you know some people, if they're not drinking wine, and somebody's drinking wine, they say, oh, he's a wine bibber. He drinks wine a lot. So he says, you are not going to taste the food. Somebody said, I'm not eating. I'm a cook. I'm going to just taste it. Cook or no cook, you are not going to taste. You are not going to eat. Not only that, you are not going to drink. If somebody says, I'm just tasting the water, just sipping a little bit. But no tasting, no drop of water in your mouth, no drop of food in your mouth. You cannot tell me you're tasting. You're not telling me I'm not eating, but just I want to see if the food is good or bad. No way. No cooking, no tasting, and no water, a drop of water in your mouth. It's a strict order. And I was just thinking, God told Jonah, 40 days, within a 40 days, this city will be destroyed. Just think, if the king told them, 40 days you fast and 40 days, what would happen? Will be disaster. The king did not tell people how many days they should be fasting. God did not tell, Jonah, tell these people, end up the 40 days, everything will be disaster coming. So he just gave the decree, took the royal cloth and everything, sitting in the ashes and telling others to do the same. That's what I'm saying. If you got the message of salvation, is for others too. Once you got saved, you want other people to get saved. Otherwise, you will be selfish. I want to go to heaven, but not my neighbor. There was a neighbor living next to the D.L. Moody. Next door to him, there was a minister. He never talked to him about Jesus. And the D.L. Moody met another man, and he witnessed to him. He witnessed to him about Jesus. D.L. Moody got saved. And came to that man, he said, hey, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? But I think he might be not saved, that pastor. If you are born again child of God, there will be fire burning in your heart to tell somebody, I want to go to heaven and I want to bring many people to heaven. That's what this king did. That's what this citizen did. Are we doing it? The point I'm making, whatever God has given to us, the talent, don't keep it to yourself. Give it away. Keep on doing it. To win souls for Christ, do it. And God will then open the doors. The Nineveh citizen people did it. and kings start doing the same thing. One Jonah, he did not reach home in the 3-day journey. He just in the 1st-day journey. And the gospel is preached around the whole Nineveh city. The king got involved. See, if the king gets involved, more things can happen. Just like a king in another country, in our country, is a president. If the president says something, there is a power to it. People listen. This king did it, sat in the ashes, all the citizens changed. Our president, our senators, our government officers, they're supposed to say, listen, we are a Christian country. We trust in God. We do not want bloodshed in our country. We do not want our people to doing anything wrong according to the Bible. We do not want to please people. We want to please God. When our people, our higher authorities start doing that, this country will be again one of the best country in the world. Still the latter rain is remaining. Still God is going to pour down the Holy Spirit before Jesus comes. Each and every church should be excited about the second coming of Christ. So it is our duty to warn people. If you left behind, you will be taking 666 number and you will be doomed for life. This is the chance. Listen to the word of God. Jesus Christ can come anytime and he will take his bride. He will take his people. And the left behind people, they will go through great tribulation, not us. Okay, so the king gave the decree. Did people listen? Let's go back and read the verse 8.
But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands.
What he's saying, cover with the sackcloth, cry mightily. He said, cry with your whole strength. Cry to God. With the tears, God might listen to your prayer. Our God wants brokenhearted. People say, oh, I go to church, I read the Bible, I pray. When did you cry to God with your broken heart? When did you cry to God that God can pay attention to your prayer? Here the word of God is saying, cry mightily. Cry with the tears. Cry with a loud voice. And let them turn away from their evil works and evil ways and the violence in their hands. Whatever you're doing with your hands, with your feet, with your eyes, with your heart, stop everything. And don't do any evil things. And then God will hear. See, sometimes people say, I'm not doing anything evil. Read book of Romans chapter 2 and last verse. He says, they not only do anything bad, but they agree what other people are doing it. Then you are with them. If other people doing something and you don't say don't do it, what does it mean? You agree. You are loving to do. I don't do any evil thing. I just watch. I just go, what do you call, movie, or I go to the seashore, I take the binocular and just watch. Or somebody's, I just go and set up the cameras in some bathrooms and I just watch. I don't do anything. What the Bible says, if you look at any girl with the lustful eyes, what you have done? You have done adultery in your heart. First it comes to your eyes and then mind and then heart and then action. Somebody says, I'm not doing anything. If you take a fire, Bible says, and put it in your chest, what will happen? It'll burn. Take a butter, and put it near the fire, what will happen? It melts. You don't give chance to the enemy to bring temptation. Devil knows where your weakness is. If you give up the smoking, that's the time another friend comes. Hi, hi, how are you, sir? I didn't see you for a long time. Here is a cigar. I just got my birthday. Oh, I gave up. It doesn't hurt for 1 minute. You gave up, I know, but just do it for one time. What happens? If you do it one time, you hooked again. Especially drinking or drug. You gave up for 1 year, 2 years, and somebody comes along and says, hey, friend, come on, do this for one time. And you do it, you got hooked again. Okay, let's read the verse 9.
Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not?
This king is saying, who knows? God can turn his anger away from us. And God might repent. God doesn't have to repent, but this is a who can turn. Repent means turn around. He's saying God might change his mind and say, I'm not going to destroy these people. I'm going to change. Do you know there's a story about a Hezekiah? That is in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 to 11. I'm not going to read it. You go home and read it. God sent the Isaiah to this man. Set your house in order. You're going to die. And the man walked away. I'm talking prophet. He went to the middle of his ground, not even finished his yard. And this man turned to the wall and started crying. And start saying, Lord, I did this, and I'm a good person, and why are you killing me, and this and that. God says to Isaiah, go back. Turn around and tell this man, you're not going to die. I give you 15 more years. Now just think, Isaiah is the prophet. He was the great prophet. He's going to say, you know what? You told me to go and tell him that he's going to die. And now you're going to tell me he's not going to die. That man is going to be confused. Am I the prophet? Am I doing the right thing? You have to read that thing. And that man really got confused. He said, I need a sign from God. I don't listen to you, what you say. And then he gave the sign and exactly happened. The point I'm making, hear the word of God is saying, God might turn his anger away. And that's what the fear Jonah had. What the Jonah was thinking, if these people change their mind, and if they repent, and if they don't die, then they are going to say, I'm a false prophet. Because I said something that didn't happen. If you read in Deuteronomy, the word of God says, if the prophet says something, and if that doesn't come true, then he's a false prophet. So the man of God has to be, you know, walking on the thin line. You say something and doesn't happen, and they blame you. You said something and didn't happen. I tell these people, don't play game. Didn't happen means not end up the world. I did not give you the date and time, and what God says, it will happen. But if you repent and say, Lord, I don't want this thing happen to me or my children or nobody, God might change his heart. God is not going to change the mind automatically. You have to repent. You have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. The husband, the wife, the children, the whole family. Sometimes somebody says, oh, please pray for my husband. I say, what do you want? Oh, he's dying. Shall I pray that he should live? No. Let him die in peace. Then the daughter comes. Oh, Pastor Peter, I don't want my daddy to die. I said, what do you want? Oh, I want him to live. Okay. Now he's too old. Can you take care of him? Oh, no. I'm in the army. And I have to go back. So your mother doesn't want him to leave. You want him to leave and you don't want to take care of him. How can I pray? I said, Lord, it's too hard for me to pray. You do your will. And the man died. And the lady who was telling me, Pastor Peter, the man doesn't allow me to go to church. But if he dies, I'll be regularly coming to church. The man died. She took off. Going this place and that place and that. I said, what happened? Your husband was troubling you not to go to church. Oh, I don't have time for church now. I have time to go and see the whole world. That's what the problem is. So point I'm making, God knows what he's doing. If he tells you you're going to die, and if you repent, he will change his mind. If you read in book of Ezekiel chapter 3 or chapter 18, he says, go and tell this man. If I tell this man, you are surely going to die. But if he repents, I will change my mind. This king had the idea. God might change his mind. Verse 10.
And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not.
Can you imagine now how many days they are fasting? The babies are there. This is only third day. Jonah finishes preaching. He finishes preaching. This is the third day. And God saw. What did he see? They repented, the sackcloth and no food and no drink and nobody's dancing. Nobody's doing prostitute job. Nobody's killing anybody. Nobody's killing baby. Nobody's stealing anything, and God saw. Some people can have a sackcloth and go and steal somebody's thing. Even though I'm not eating, but that doesn't mean I don't have to steal. The king did not say that. He just said, don't taste the food. I'm not tasting, but he didn't tell me, don't murder or don't. He said, change your way. Don't do evil things. And they stopped doing evil things. God saw. It doesn't take the 40 days. God told David, choose three things. You should run 3 months and the enemy should be after you. You should have famine for 3 years. Or you should have 3 days, what do you call, plague. Choose one. Now, which is easy? He said, Lord, I don't know what to choose. I want to fall in your hand. And the plague started. The angel comes and stopped it. So when you fall in the hand of God, God did not allow him 3 days plague. He stopped it in the middle. Fasting happening 3 days, 40 days, you don't have to. God says, I saw your heart. You people are changed. You people are repented. You don't have to have 40 days fast. I heard your prayer. And it's God says, I'm not going to do it. I changed my heart, and you people are not doing anything evil. So God changed his mind. How did it happen? You can feel it in your spirit. Maybe God told these people, every one of them, I'm not going to destroy your city. Go ahead and take the sackcloth, wipe out your tears, put on the good clothes, have a good meal, and rejoice. And here, he might have said to Jonah, Jonah, pretty good job. You preached and a whole city repented. I'm not going to destroy them. Jonah is not happy. You're going to see it in the next chapter. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, that you are a wonderful God. You are the merciful God. Lord Jesus, sometimes we do certain things which is not pleasing in your sight. We ask you to forgive our sins. We repent of our sins. We do not want to go to hell. We do not want to go to the great tribulations. We want to go home. When Christ comes, he will take us home. This place is not our home. We are the citizens of heaven. Lord Jesus, Bless your people. Give us grace to live a clean and holy life. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of repentance. Today is the day for change of our hearts. We are not waiting for tomorrow. Jonah heard it second time and he obeyed. Lord Jesus, give us a second chance. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.